Well, a man dies and finds himself in front of the pearly gates. St. Peter explains to him that it's not so easy to enter into heaven. There are some criteria before he's allowed entry. So he said to the man, "Did you ever attend church?" The man replied, "No." St. Peter told him that that was not good. "Were you generous? Did you give money to the poor, to charity?" "No," replied the man. St. Peter told him that that too was not good. "Did you do any good deeds? Did you ever help your neighbor, anything?" "No," replied the man. Now St. Peter became very concerned. Exasperated, St. Peter said, "Look, everybody does something nice sometime during their life. Work with me, I'm trying to help you. Were you ever a good Samaritan to anyone? Think." The man said, "Well, there was this little old lady. I came out of a store and found her surrounded by a gang. They had taken her pocketbook and were shoving her around. I got so mad, I threw my groceries down, fought through the crowd, and got her purse back. I then helped her to her feet. I then went up to the biggest, baddest man and told him how despicable, cowardly, and mean he was." "Wow," said St. Peter. "That's impressive. Well, when did that happen?" The fellow said, "Oh, about 5 minutes ago." Today we have the story of the Good Samaritan, one of the Lord's greatest parables. Take a look at this. It's from St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. St. Luke is the gospel of mercy. There's so many powerful stories of compassion and mercy in St. Luke's gospel. Today, a lawyer comes up and says to Jesus, "What must I do to get to heaven? What must I do to be saved?" And Jesus says, "Well, you tell me, what does the Bible say?" And so the man says, "Well, according to Scripture, you have to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus says, "That's right, do that, and you will get to heaven." Well, the lawyer wanted to justify himself and said, "Well, then, who is my neighbor?" See, according to the mentality of the day, that it was only your fellow members of your own faith, your own religion, your own race. They were you're the ones that were truly your neighbor. You could love them and hate everybody else. Jesus said, "No, I want to tell you a story." So he tells him what it means to be a neighbor, to love others. And so he tells the story called the story that we know now as the Good Samaritan. And it's a brilliant story. We look at the details that the Lord gives us. He says that a man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Well, that road was notoriously the most dangerous road in those days. St. Jerome, who wrote in the year 400, called it the Bloody Way because it was a very dangerous road. See, Jerusalem is 2,300 feet above sea level. Jericho is down by the Dead Sea, 1,300 feet below sea level. So the road in about 17 miles drops 3,600 feet. So it's very windy along the mountain path. And so the robbers and the brigands would often hide out around the curb, and it was a good place for them to hide and to make a quick escape. And in fact, even as late as 1930, it was still too dangerous to travel that road by yourself. People always, in the Lord's day, always traveled in caravans with 10 or 20 people just for safety. Well, this particular man was pretty foolish. He travels by himself from Jerusalem down to Jericho. Most likely he's a member of the Jewish faith because he's just leaving Jerusalem, most likely the temple, and he's going back home. Well, the robbers attack him, and they didn't just steal his money, they took everything. They stripped him of his clothes, they beat him so severely that they left him lying there half dead. Couldn't tell if he was dead or alive. They took everything from him, and here he is lying on the road near death. Well, then three people walk by, And this next part is my least favorite part of the story, because it says the priest walked by and he did not help. He did not show compassion. He did not show mercy. He walked on the other side of the road. He didn't want to get involved because helping people is too difficult, too messy. So he walked on the other side of the road. See, according to Leviticus, to touch a corpse or to touch someone who was bleeding would make you ritually unclean for 7 days. And he had his duty at the temple. So he was not willing to touch and see if this man was alive or dead. So he held up these, you know, ritual purification above true love of neighbor. So he was unwilling to show true love. And the next person that comes by is a Levite. A Levite would be our equivalent of a modern day deacon. So this is future Deacon Gillespie's least favorite part of the story. Okay? Now the deacon goes by and he also walks to the other side of the street. He again does not want to become ritually unclean, and he shows no compassion. So notice that the priest, then the deacon, they see this man, but they're not moved with pity or compassion. Well, then the third and the last traveler that Jesus said that came down the road was a Samaritan. Now, for us, we don't really, that doesn't shock us that much, but for the Jewish person, that would be a terrible shock. See, this was really one of the Lord's most challenging and shocking of all his parables. Because for us, it would be, let's say, that, you know, the priest walked by, the deacon walked by, but now a communist walks by, or a Nazi sympathizer walks by. Think of somebody that really is, let's say, despised by, and yet this one is the hero of the story. See, the Lord always turns things and twists things to make us think. So here he is, a Samaritan. The Samaritans were hated by the Jews. They would not allow the Jewish people to walk through their territory. They were heretics. The Samaritans were a mixed breed. They didn't worship God properly. They were heretics, schismatics. They didn't worship God in Jerusalem. They worshiped God on their own mountain of Gerizim. And so for the Lord to say, the Samaritan is the hero, must have been terribly shocking for all those who heard this for the first time. Well, this Samaritan is moved with pity. He's filled with mercy and compassion. And so he gets off his animal, he comes down from his animal, and he picks up this man and he washes him. He pours water and then he anoints him with oil for comfort, and he pours wine into his wounds for a disinfectant to cleanse the wounds and to soothe the wounds with oil. He then wraps this man up in bandages, lifts him up, puts him on his own donkey or whatever animal he was riding, so he has to walk, and then he takes this man all the way down that road to an inn. And he sets up this man, cares for him all night long, stays up with him, nurses him back to health, saves his life, and then he has to go. So he talks to the innkeeper, gives him 2 silver coins and says, take care of him. This would last him a few weeks. On his way back, he'll pay whatever is still remaining of the debt. And then Jesus said, which of these three was truly a neighbor? And of course, the lawyer has to answer. He doesn't want to answer it. He'd rather say the priest or the Levite was the hero, but he has to say it was the Samaritan. He was the one who was the true neighbor because he treated him with mercy and compassion. St. Augustine says that Jesus is the Good Samaritan. Jesus is our Good Samaritan. We are the man lying by the side of the road. Humanity is broken. We have original sin. We're half dead. And so God needs to save us. He wants to save us. So he gets off his animal, he comes down from heaven, he humbles himself, he lowers himself. Jesus becomes one of us, God becomes man, to save a broken, half-dead, bleeding humanity. See, we're suffering because of original sin. And so Jesus descended from heaven, came down among us. Jesus picks us up. He washes us with the waters of baptism. He pours into our life oil and wine, which represent the sacraments, because oil is used in the sacrament of baptism, confirmation, and anointing of the sick. He then pours the wine into our life, which represents the Holy Eucharist, the body and blood of Christ, nourishes us, strengthens us. Jesus then takes us to the church, which is the inn, and he places us in the arms and the care of Holy Mother Church until he comes again at the second coming. Jesus even gives the church the two silver coins, which the fathers of the church say represent the scriptures, the Old and New Testament. So notice what Jesus does for us. He gives us the sacred scriptures. He gives us the sacraments to take care of us. He gives us the church, the inn in which we live until Jesus comes again at the end of time, at the second coming. So Jesus is our Good Samaritan. And then he says, I want you to go and do likewise. So how do we relate this to ourselves? Well, when we see people in need, do we become like the priest or deacon that sort of turns away, or do we try to treat people with mercy and compassion? And everyone, Jesus says, is our neighbor, no matter what their race or religion would be. So we're not just neighbors to our fellow Christians, we have to be truly neighborly and merciful towards everyone, no matter what their religion or race may be. So everyone is our neighbor. We have to remember that when we think of the elderly or the handicapped or that unborn baby, the unborn children that we're trying to defend and protect, these are our neighbors. So Jesus is saying today that everyone is our neighbor without exception. And if we truly want to be his follower, then we will treat people with mercy and compassion.